गुरु ब्रह्मा गुरु विष्णु गुरुदेवो महेश्वरा गुरु साक्षात् परब्रह्मा तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। Good morning. This is from yesterday's Merging with Shiva lesson. In other words, the practice of yoga well performed produces the yoni. Just one sentence, but a lot in that. Gurudev is pointing out what jnana means in Saiva Siddhanta. In the Vedantic approach, jnana yoga, of course, means philosophical discrimination between the unreal and the real, right? That's what jnana yoga is, but it involves scriptural study. So you start with scriptural study, reflection on scriptural study, which leads to discrimination between the unreal and the real. Modern jnana yoga sometimes gets stuck at the first stage, scriptural study. And therefore, Gurudev mentions a number of times the difference between intellectual knowledge or jnana yoga when it's only taken to the level of scriptural study and being a jnani or jnana in Saiva Siddhanta. So he's pointing out, in other words, the practice of yoga well performed produces the jnani. So a jnani is someone who has been successful at Raja Yoga and experienced God within himself. Different definition of jnani. The yogi has the same experiences if he is successful and comes out with the same independent knowledge, which, when reviewed, corresponds perfectly with what other jnanis discovered and taught as the outcome of their yogic practices. This kind of knowledge surpasses all other knowing and is the basis of all Hindu scriptures. The jnani is a rare soul, a highly evolved soul. He speaks of truth from his experience of it and gives it a personal touch. As Sri Ramakrishna said, you go into yourself a fool, but through the practices of yoga you come out a wise man. That is the jnani, the knower of the unknowable. The yogi who is in the process of yoga, who has not graduated to God realization, is not yet a jnani. Though he has all kinds of realizations along the way, some sustained, others yet to be sustained, the yogi is seeking, striving, changing, unfolding, trying with all his heart to become, to know his ultimate goal. When the merger has become complete, when two have become one, he is no longer a yogi, he is a jnani. When the student graduates from college, he is no longer a student, he is a graduate. The merger of which I speak is Parashiva, to be experienced by the sannyasin who has turned from the world and into himself. There is yet another realization which can be described as experiencing God, Shiva, as Satchit Ananda, as light and love and consciousness. This also may be achieved through yoga. When one experiences this expanded state of consciousness, this cosmic consciousness, he comes back knowing he has had a fantastic experience. But no jnana persists, for he has yet to attain the ultimate. Family people can attain this second state through diligent effort and even attain to Parashiva at the point of death or before it If the path of renunciation is entered upon fully after life's obligations have been fulfilled. But there are few, very few, who have attained the highest of the high, Parashiva, after having been householders, having fulfilled their family dharma, freed from any and all worldly endeavors, plunged into total abandonment of spouse, family, friends, associates of all kind, taking no disciples, shunning devotees, and forever living alone on alms to seek the highest of the high. As said, even following such a strict path, there are very few who attain to absolute reality. But all who strive have done powerful preparation for their next life. So the last sentence is the one I wanted to stress. Part of Western influence is focusing on the current life to the exclusion of future lives. As I say in some of my keynotes, we believe in future lives, but just to be sure, let's achieve it in this life. Just in case. So there's that kind of rush. There's a rush that we have to experience everything. Oh, I didn't do this, so I better do it now because I haven't done it yet. But that is not the best way to look at spiritual practice. Because we can get frustrated that we didn't make more progress. I worked my whole life. I did this every day. I did my vigil. I did this. I did that. And this is all I have. But the point is, we get to start over again next life from where we left off in this one. We carry forward our spiritual attainments. They don't go away. We carry them forward. They don't manifest when we're 2 years old. We have to mature the physical body, mature the emotional body, mature the intellectual body. Maybe they manifest in our late teens or our 20s at least. We manifest the spiritual achievements from our previous life. It's like, anybody remember the Shum word for carrying forward a meditation from today to tomorrow? Nalif, there we go. It's like a prolonged nalif. Okay, I had a good meditation today, and now when I'm reborn 100 years from now and I've grown up, I'll continue on. Nalif, we continue on from where we leave off. So we need that kind of long-term perspective to really have the right way of looking at our spiritual efforts and progress in this life. We need long-term view and realize that it's a slow process, because again, this sense of rush from the Western idea that there's only one life can give us a sense of dissatisfaction that we haven't achieved more, but what we want is the satisfaction that we've achieved so much. Well, that's the point. See what we have achieved. You know, the glass being half full rather than half empty. See what we have achieved and focus on that and feel good about that. But all who strive have done powerful preparation for their next life. My Satguru Siva Yoga Swami often said, Lord Shiva is within you. You are within Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva, with all of his powers, cannot separate himself from you. Siva Yoga Swami told us to go to the temple, to worship at the temple. He also told us to go within ourselves into Sivayana. He did not tell us not to go to the temple. He did not try to break our faith. He tried to build our faith and make us strong. He guided us on the straight path, the path of the Saivite saints, leading us to the feet of Shiva. Siva Yoga Swami himself, though completely self-realized, went regularly to the temple, worshipped Shiva there, then plunged within himself in the aftermath of holy puja, drawing near to Shiva through meditation. He never advocated, nor has any Saivite guru advocated, that advanced devotees give up bhakti, give up the temple. No, never. They taught that Shiva is within, and cannot be separated from you, but they also wisely directed us to seek him and worship him in the temple. Again, that's kind of a reference back to the beginning, the concept of jnana in Vedanta versus jnana in Saivasiddhanta. Sometimes the jnana approach in Vedanta includes looking down at temple worship. I'm a jnani. I'm studying scripture. Temple worship, that's for beginners. That's for people that don't live in big cities but still live out in the villages. You know, kind of looking down attitude, who aren't ready to study the scriptures yet. It's for them. So that's out there in certain circles of Vedanta. So Gurudev is speaking from the Saiva Siddhanta point of view, which is when we're young, naturally, we can't meditate, so we start our worship in the temple. But even when we're older and we can meditate well, we don't give it up. It's a good balance. Keeps the devotional nature strong. And as we've talked about before, it helps humility develop initially and then not go away. You don't want to become a great yogi and feel your realizations are superior to someone else's. You've lost your sense of humility there. Always want to feel that whatever you've achieved is because of the guru. If you trace the guru back far enough, you end up with Shiva, Dakshinamurti. So it's because of the guru and Shiva, whatever you've achieved. And holding that perspective, the temple worship is very helpful in keeping that balance so that you don't develop what's called spiritual pride. You can start out with ordinary pride coming from education or family status or something and manage to give that up and then develop a whole new set of pride in your yoga and your spiritual knowledge. So that's not good, right? Exchanging one form of pride for another. Thus, we're cautioned to always maintain our devotional worship, which when we do it sincerely, it keeps us developing a strong sense of pride. A wonderful day. Om Namah Shivaya.